told me they called you Stonewall.
Anything wrong with that?
That's just funny. I guess they named a lot of that southern trash after old Stonewall.
What'd they name you after? What do you know?
I'm saying that Stonewall Jackson was trash himself. Him and Lee and all the rest of them Rebs. You too.
You're a low-down lying Yankee.
Prove it.
We are proud individuals living for the city, but the flames couldn't go much higher. We fight
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
Where are we here today, Douglas?
We are here.
No, you're supposed to say. The on. I saw Logan.
You did?
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about that for a second.
We got ourselves an X-Men fan. Maybe a quarter of it happened. And not like this. In the real world, people die.
Logan.
I don't want to talk about it.
Logan.
Just stop.
Be careful. I need the girl.
What girl?
I went to the movies with my sister finally. And we watched Mr. Wicknam first. We watched that at 5. John Wick 2 is incredible. We spoke about that already. And then...
No, we didn't.
And then we saw Logan, but she didn't know that Logan was rated R. And so, 3 minutes in, when there was about 18 or so folks, said, she turns to me and she's like, this movie is... I'm like, no, it's a comic book movie. And only
it's for children.
And it's only during the intermission, which is a thing here, because... our theater sucks. I told her, no, the movie's rated R. I knew it. Yeah, you knew it. 40 million fucks in and 900 throat stabbings later. Yeah, it's an R-rated movie.
If you have knives for hands, you kill people.
But she really enjoyed that movie. And I...
How say you?
Really enjoyed that movie.
Western Logan. Western Wolverine.
And it's not the Western path. I enjoy, and I don't want to say this because people are going to tell me to go read the comic books, and I don't want to do that. But I enjoy the explanation as to why the mutants weren't being born. They like re-engineered the food so that people wouldn't develop the traits. And I went, that is a... I'd like to see the story behind it. Like, as I was thinking in my head, I'm like, there's probably a comic book that explains this, but there's no chance I'm going to read that. That's not going to happen. Because I'm an adult. I don't have time. I'll go watch comic book movies, but that is it.
I've literally watched the YouTube videos where they try to explain a comic book section that deals with that. And I'm like, all right, cool, I got it. Don't need to read that one.
Why am I surrounded by Wolverine lovers? Damien, you were the last holdout.
Yeah.
Why?
Because this one kept the story small. It is just a man trying to execute a thing. Yes. Not, right, small. People can hear me move my hands closer and further apart on the podcast and point at
you
the
mean
Douglas.
It's a Western?
It's
a thing to do.
Right. It's basically a Western. Except there's no horses. No, there was a horse that
there
the little girl
horses.
Was going to stab. I enjoy her so very much. She's so wild.
And I like Patrick Stewart in this one a lot.
I like even the villain with the robot arm. I like all of this works except for that final fight scene at the end. That is a shitty train.
So, can I tell you, there was no connection whatsoever for me with anything that happened in this movie.
I can't see why you despise this movie.
Yeah, the girl was not anything special. So, right. The girl in the trailer was great because, and again,
stabby stabby 1980.
Right? Yeah. Stabby stabby jokey jokey is what I saw in the trailer, right? So she's stabby, and then she'd come out, and the fellow with the robot arm would be like, No. And that was great. It never.
But she's not, right? She's not cracking jokes in the movie. She's self serious, like Wolverine is self serious. But,
and the thing about it is, again, and I hate saying things like this because
you're wrong.
That potentially. Right. But also because when people say things like this, I get upset with them. Right?
Also because you're wrong.
But I felt like the R rating on this was useless.
Gratuitous.
Yeah.
They just did it for doing its sake.
What happened was Deadpool came out and I said, wait, we can do this now? But no R-rated thing went beyond a fuck word or a stabbiness.
Right.
There was nothing that could not this movie could have been PG-13 and been the same thing.
Yeah.
I disagree a little bit. Because here lies the thing, right? And here lies with all of these things. So we can pick it about anything someone wants to label a movie. So like female-directed movies that people want to champion because it's female-directed. Or R-rated movies because they're R-rated and they allow them to do things. You label it anything you want. It's really hard, and I'm sure this is where you're coming from a little bit, when you go into the movie with this in your head, where you're like, okay, they went and made it R-rated, so they have to now justify this R-rating sort of-ish, right? Damien, you don't talk because
I'm not going to talk. Right? I was waiting until you're finished.
Right. They have to, in your head, you're like, somehow they have to justify this. And the thing about it is with this movie, I don't think that it's like the way Deadpool does, where it pushes it into the character such into the forefront that you're like, yeah, they had to do this R-rated or it would have been a waste of time. I think they do justify it with this movie because I can't, and you might say, Andrew, but you like Wolverine, so fuck you.
Which is what I was going to say last week when you talked about this movie.
But I really like the way that the violence in itself, they twisted the way that people have looked at Wolverine and all of these comic book movies. Because so long I've talked about it, the weird way they deal with violence in PG-13 comic book movies, where even talking about The Dark Knight, where the Joker has the pencil trick, right? They're like, whoops, where did the pencil go, right? And it's only for us adult brains who even want to pretend to think about it for half a second to go, oh shit, that's terrifying, right? And children just giggling like, oh, that's cool, right? But I kind of like it because of even, there's even a point in the movie where he talks about it the same way that the famous Unforgiven scene where they're going on about what it really means to murder someone or what it means for you as the person who does the murdering. And I think it worked to have the R rating. Do I think it's the kind of thing where I want to put it at the forefront of you going into this movie, going like, hey, it's an R rated movie and it's violent and it's going to be cool? No, I think it's just an R rated movie.
Well, to be fair, right? I didn't go in with a preconception. I actually wasn't even sure that it was R rated before I went in because I'd only watched the trailers and I didn't. Well, I'm sure
trailers
it was
aren't
there.
R-rated.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it was there, but I didn't really pay attention to it because on top of everything else, I never thought I'd like this movie because guess what? It's a Wolverine movie. I don't like them. But so, for instance, and there is some credence to your argument about me saying that there needs to be a justification. But when I look at a movie like Deadpool, I don't even think about it as, oh, in the comic books, he was a naughty boy, so he needs to be naughty on the t-. It was just the way they used it. So, for instance, just the way he says fuck in Make This Guy a Fucking Kebab is hilarious. And that joke would not have worked for me if the word fuck was not there. But nothing like that happened in this movie for me.
So what I was, while shaking my head, was the reason Douglas brought up the I rating at all is because he didn't like the movie first.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. Yeah. Whenever we don't like things, then we find other things to point. Hate. Right. When you like a thing, then like none of
everything
like,
falls.
So Douglas doesn't like the movie and can't see why the I rating is necessary. There's a scene when he's in a casino and Xavier is having a panic attack and you see him slow motion walk up to people and stab them because of the crushing weight. Mm-hmm. That scene doesn't work in PG-13.
And that's
that
a fair point.
That scene has to be R-rated or it fails entirely. You just have the blade noises and people and no blood and no panic.
And that's a fair point. Mm-hmm. And maybe what I'm focusing on is not necessarily the R rating in particular, but the naughty words, the language, right? Because I don't think the language really affected
like,
this movie.
Right, the language.
And I know he's a curmudgeon. He's the kind of guy who'd say fuck a little bit. But
plus, you've grown up with him with the cartoons where he wasn't allowed to. He got to say Bob instead of.
Exactly.
Plus, hearing Xavier curse was a dream come
true. But you heard it in Green Room.
Yeah. But hearing Professor Xavier. Mm-hmm. Right?
And I think the
By the way,
the
I was rewatching Deadpool
movie.
The other day and I heard them make a... I like that movie because I'm still finding things that I didn't hear before. There's a point where they talk about going to the school and they're talking about Professor Xavier and he says James McAvoy or Patrick Stewart.
Yep.
Which one are these things are all confusing. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, I heard that from Deadpool is a dumb movie for stupid idiots.
Anyway, sorry.
I don't like the Wolverine.
Yes, I do know this.
I was on team not Wolverine. when I finally saw the trailer at Carib, I went, they've done this before. They've put out good trailers for Wolverine movies, but they're all shit. Because these movies are terrible. And I even asked Andrew, I'm like, Andrew, who directed this one? He's like, the same guy. I mean, well, this is just a shitty train wreck. Mm-hmm. And when I heard my sister was like, I want to watch that Wolverine movie. I went, is she joking? Right? Because she didn't come to the last one. And this one is the third. So it has to suck. And then sat in that theater. And from the moment the movie started and you realized that he wasn't healing properly. So you saw all of the battle scars.
Yeah.
And you had to work out, is he a taxi? Like, what is he? What is happening? Oh, no. He's an Uber driver. He's a taxi man. What the hell is that? And then from there, works just see all of the other things happen. You know? And then when the action starts, with the exception of that final scene.
Yeah, the final
everything
scene.
Everything else in this movie. I was in, and it might be... No, me and you would have gone in with the same expectations. So I won't say it's an expectation thing. Mm-hmm. But I assume this movie was trash.
Well, to be fair,
I
went into the movie pretty much knowing that I wouldn't like it. Mm-hmm. But whenever I saw any of these trailers, for a half second, I said to myself, Johnny Cash sang to you. These trailers
look good, right? This looks like a movie.
But I didn't really think I'd like it. I didn't want to like it. But for me, the ultimate moment that kind of embodies just how bad this movie is was very near to the end. And I'll try not to make this as spoilerific as it could be, but there's a section where a cross becomes an X, and that was just ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't say after hating the movie for 2 hours. When they tip over the crossing, you know what?
Are you, Damien?
All of this,
Damien.
All of this.
Are you saying that was the tipping point?
Black thought on the roots, everybody.
Tippy waitresses.
Oh my god. Yeah, I can see. Yeah. Looking at it from your point of view, that, like, I can see you like kicking.
So at that
like
stage,
Andra walking out of the thing.
At that stage, I just burst out in uncontrollable laughter.
This shitty, so much so
yeah. that there was a row of clearly, you know, like high school students right. or college students, whatever, right. all as friends, the full row was okay. that group.
Uh-huh.
They all turned around and like, just like, gave me this face like what are you doing?
How dare you judge my like, Oscar contender?
This, you know. The thing with this movie is, even walking out of the movie, I'm afraid to watch this movie a second time.
I want to watch it again.
No, I definitely want to. But there's it's because it's the same thing with Keanu. I walk out of the movie, I'm like, I think I love this movie, but there's
what
a
if
chance.
You don't? Yeah.
I will sit down and go, I didn't have that good a day. I just want a movie to enjoy. And then turn around like, this is hot garbage. But in my initial viewing, I'm really, really impressed that they made a solid Wolverine movie. It doesn't feel like any of the other X-Men movies. In all honesty, it doesn't feel like any of the other superhero movies that I've watched so far. And that has nothing to do with the R rating. It just, like, it's about the subject matter. It's just these broken people finding a thing to rally behind and seeing it through today. As Andrew said, it's like a Western. But the performances I enjoyed the little girl, I enjoyed Logan, I enjoyed like all of it. Just and there's a point where they meet this family farming corn or whatever, and there's a thing that happens and he tries to shoot Wolverine and runs out of bullets, and when he did that I went, I think I am in love with this movie once and for all. No, because of course that is what you do. Like, you did this to everybody. I'm going to shoot you in the face. I really, really enjoyed this one, Douglas. Like, even with you going, I don't know what Andrew's talking about.
I got one.
It is especially coming from that samurai horseshit.
So you're saying we have X2 and we have Logan.
Damian, you realize, so why would you do this with the last X-Men, last Wolverine? You realize forever you will always love the last Wolverine movie. right? There'll never be a switch to turn you back off.
Right. I realize the thing that I'm doing, the mistake I'm making, especially saying it out loud beside certain people.
The
movie's good enough that I can't fake the funk. Just accept that they made a good Wolverine movie. It shouldn't have happened. But it did.
It reminds me, there's a Wolverine series going on that I want to read that I've been putting off for a long time.
No, that's all right. That's okay.
That they claim this is pseudo based off of.
Yeah. That X-23 girl is great. X-24 is shitty.
I thought that was kind of dumb. Like, not even like comic book dumb. I thought it was like the way that they did it visually.
Yeah.
Like there had to be like some deep jokes on set.
Yeah. There was a lot of laughter. Like, even when I saw it, this stupid movie.
The thing is that this is what I know most about the Wolverine movies, right? So I love the Wolverine, the samurai one. I like this one a lot as well. But I love it knowing that it's a messy movie. I love it knowing, and both of them fall for the same reasons. They're pretty great movies to me for the first two thirds, and then when the final super mutant ending occurs, that is when the movie kind of starts to fail, right? And I know it, but Douglas has said this about a lot of movies, because I spend the first 2 hours loving it so much, I forgive.
Yeah. Either you forgive or it's like, it starts to slow you down, but you never quite stop.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, this is dumb, but I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
All right, and so this podcast is over. We can move on with our lives, right?
Does this mean we don't want to talk about the other movie?
I saw you guys went to Kong.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We did see Kong. Talk about
everybody
that.
In the world apparently loves this movie.
I've seen a few people who said they don't like
jumping
it,
up and down like it's Christmas.
Like the people who I've seen don't like this movie are people I understand not liking this movie.
You sound like you're describing Kurt Halfyard. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm talking about David Ehrlich.
And you should have known better. You shouldn't have gone to this movie. You knew what this movie was, right?
So, Damien.
So, I'm excited to go watch that. Because it's giant monsters.
Damien.
Mm-hmm. There are lots of monsters in here.
They made the monster movie right. So, remember how I hated Godzilla?
Yeah, because you're
wrong. But you're wrong.
Because I'm right.
but you're wrong.
This movie is not perfect, right?
It's a giant monster movie. There's no perfect.
But it is fun. That's all I'm there for. And it is good.
Are there giant monsters fighting other giant monsters?
And there are numerous types of giant monsters, which is great.
That's all I've needed for a long time.
Surprisingly... That whole John C. Reilly, look how I'm comic relief, I'm funny, and I've been here for 100 years.
Yeah.
It actually kind of works.
Does Sam Jackson work?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he does.
He plays Colonel Kurtz.
What he's doing?
He's Colonel Kurtz. Okay. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Let's just say that he hopes... they deserve to die, and he hopes they burn
in
hell.
Okay, all right, cool.
Right? All right, he works.
All right, cool.
There's only one thing I don't like about this movie.
What's that? It ends?
Brie Larson. It's not that I don't like her. I like her, right? But it's obvious they've shoehorned her in just for the monkey-must-like gene scene.
Okay.
And the rest of this movie is not that movie. Mm-hmm. But they just have that like two scenes in there where like you really don't need it.
Exactly. And they force it. It's clearly
we can't make a King Kong movie and not have this in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to show this piece to the producers and then make our movie.
Brie Larson.
King Kong. Ain't got shit. Somebody should have said that.
Too good.
Yeah,
been too
they
good.
They did say he's the king and he is Kong.
Yes, they did say that. So, but that was in the trailer, so you knew that was going to happen. And they also went to Vietnam. So, you know, there is a Viet Cong joke in there.
Oh, I thought someone said good morning, Vietnam.
Good morning, Viet Cong. But this movie was pretty good.
It's a pretty fun movie.
As I said, it's not, I don't think I'd ever really buy it. It is not.
It's not Godzilla.
No, it's not Godzilla. It's good. It's not like, you know, something you say, oh, I really want to watch it in the next day. It's not to the level that you love Logan.
Until Damon comes here and says it's to the level that he loves.
It's a pretty good movie.
It sounds like my type of movie.
And you know who was actually really good in it? Somebody who I've been warming to lately.
Well, Shea Whigham.
Not lately. I've kind of liked him ever since Avengers. Is Loki.
Loki.
Tom Hiddleston was kind of cool. In the way that... So, what they do is... They kind of coast his character through. So there is one scene where he is super badass. And then the rest of the movie, they're just like, don't mess with him because he's badass.
Right, they like build it up.
Yeah. but I like it. He works. And, you know, he's in these kind of cool things now. Like he was in the spy show-ish the other day. And it's kind of cool.
Spy show?
He was in the... I'll soon tell you what it's called. It's not The Mechanic. It's the...
The Night Manager?
Night Manager, thank you.
I still haven't watched that show. I honestly didn't know what it was about.
It's not spy like James Bond spy.
I thought he was actually a night manager of like a building.
He is a night manager, but that's how he becomes a spy.
Is he a spy at the beginning or does he get recruited?
No, he gets recruited. Okay, cool. It's a John Le Carre book that became a television
show.
When
you're a spy...
Oh, no. And you look into the sky.
You guys don't know
that's
that TV
Amore.
Show?
Oh my god. What show are we talking about?
You guys didn't watch Burn Notice, did you?
Yes, we did.
It's been so long since I've even thought about that show.
You shouldn't.
The only way I think of it is when I see him and I call him Burn Notice.
Yep.
What's his name? Burn Notice. Okay. He doesn't have names.
So do we want to talk about this actual movie?
Sure.
No. Because it's like, wow, it's feeling like no one really wants to talk about this.
You guys, do you guys not like this movie at all?
You guys, Damien and you just kind of took over for like a half, right, for like a half hour. So usually when that happens, right, it means someone really doesn't want to talk about it.
I saw a fun movie and wanted to talk about it before talking about this kind of mediocre movie. I saw the two people in this movie and went, oh yeah, I need to see this movie. I want to see all of whatever happens in this movie. Didn't watch any trailers. Douglas picked it, and so I was just keeping myself pure. And then the movie started, and she was just bitching and moaning for
a long
time.
Can you please say the name of the movie?
Oh, sorry. I don't feel at home in this world anymore. The movie started, and it started out funny with the lady dying. Her final words were
great.
It was so spectacular. I'm like, all right, movie, I know where this is going. But then it didn't go there. She was just miserable for like a long time. And then she finds the other person in the movie. And her first interaction with him, I went, what is this movie? What? Then turns out he is a ninja. And I went, all right, movie, let's do this. And then it was never that.
I love that, because I didn't actually say it out loud, but when I first saw him, I was like, he's the kind of guy that says nunchucka or what, mm-hmm, you know.
And then 100%.
Yeah, he's the worst. But Damien,
and then by the time the movie ended, it became The Green Room.
Yeah, this movie is the weirdest sort of revenge
movie. Madness.
I actually rather like this movie, so I would put
but
this
it's
movie.
Not ba- I, like, it's not bad.
Of course, it's not bad.
But it is so all over the place that by the time the movie ended, the feeling I had was, I guess that's over. This movie's done.
So no, Douglas can't talk yet.
No.
So this movie is about a young lady who gets robbed.
Right.
She then decides she must have vengeance on those who have robbed her because the police aren't doing anything.
I am vengeance.
And becomes a detective of sorts.
No, she's Batman.
Right. She teams up with Elijah Wood.
A Robin. Revenge detectorist.
Who has, as you say, nunchuckus.
Right.
Right.
And they are the Avengers.
Right. And they go on this journey. This movie is exactly what I expected, that being mediocre to nonsense. I feel like here lies the thing. So this is a movie that Netflix bought out of festivals, and it's now on Netflix. You all can go and watch it. I don't feel there's been a good Netflix movie yet. There have been great series.
Hold on, I haven't watched it,
mm-hmm,
but people were raving about that Luther movie. Beasts
of No Nation.
Yeah. I do not like that movie.
Oh, it's
that
not
much.
Good. Okay, all right, fair
like
enough.
It is like a par for the course.
Okay, yeah.
Africa war movie. Like, yeah, it feels like a movie where they've seen enough of them, right, and they know what beats they have to hit. But absolutely nothing of that movie.
Remember
feels
Birth of
good,
a Nation?
But
right?
Guys, it's remember, just, I like it.
Yeah, remember Birth of a Nation?
Oh, I hate that movie.
Yeah, then you do not watch Beast
Douglas,
okay.
Douglas, if you just watch like any Oscar clip of Idris Elba for Best Actor for that movie,
it is
a great movie. Because you get to see Idris Elba do all the things you expect of Idris Elba. But the rest of that movie is just empty. And this is how this movie feels to me. It feels like a movie where movies like this exist that we like. And it knows of those movies, and it comes so close to those kinds of movies without actually having any sort of like caring by any of us watching it. It's like if you're watching a movie and you're like, I don't want to actually be engaged by a movie. I want to just make it feel like it reminds me of other movies I like, so I can kind of have it on in the background.
You remember when you used to watch a movie channel? This is a movie that belongs on that channel. I know these people, this movie sucks.
I'm not saying this movie is completely empty. It has a few choice moments, but it's a pale imitation of the good movies that we like.
I'm so disappointed right now, because
I'd like to hear you defend that statement.
I wouldn't, and the thing is, I can't defend that statement, but I wouldn't go as far as to say this is a great movie, but I rather like this movie.
Because you like movies that you can play in the background.
It was dumb. It was fun. It was.
That is the part that me and you. That is
where we split. That's where we split. Okay.
The fun part.
But yeah. It was funny. There were all of these jokes that were kind of. I don't want to say shoehorn because that's a negative connotation, right. But that were stuck in between this, as you said, moaning. Because there was, I agree, right. There was a lot of moaning in this. But there was a lot of fun. There was, Elijah Wood was just,
he's
dumb.
I don't know how, but I think I like him more now. Like, the older he gets and the more done. Like, even though he keeps coming in bad movies.
Yeah.
I think he's good at acting.
Yeah.
I think he just might be good at what he does. And he's forcing me to like him. Because when I look at his movies that I've seen him in, I don't like a lot of them, but I do like him.
And do you know what? So and small things, like, you know who I really liked?
The
brother-in-law, right? The little girl was great, by the way. That was a great intro. But the brother-in-law was perfect, because I think you see him on screen twice. The first time is when he walks in and he sees his sister, and he's like, Jesus. You see him just, what, no.
He's like, internet date, and that was, what else?
That was the worst part, because you saw it in his face, and you're like, all right, cool, he doesn't like her, he's going to be quiet and sit down. Mm-hmm. No, he's not. Mm-hmm. He was a dick. He's like, so, was it an internet date?
It's like, internet date or just bad day? I'm
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And then he's like, I'm going to finish eating this sandwich, because...
And then the second time is when she tries to call her sister and he has a phone, and you see him look at the number for a half second, and the face that he puts on, he's like, why? And he's like, all right, fine, I need to answer the phone. I was like, what do you want?
I need a new wife. Huh? What?
But things like that. And then, you know, the child that steals things, and there are so many just small instances of quirky just dumbness that shine in this movie. And I don't think anybody could ever really defend this, even though I've seen a lot of good buzz on the internet about this movie. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was decent. I would probably, right now, I think, I almost said Godzilla. I think King Kong is a better movie, but I would be more likely to watch this movie again than King Kong.
Right, you're not a giant monsters movie type of person. when I saw the cast, I went, I definitely want to see this, the shenanigans that these lunatics get up to. But the movie, like, it feels like the movie wants to teach a lesson, but she's a worse person than when the movie started.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's your problem.
No.
I don't think there's a lesson being taught here.
She starts out, and you only see the worst of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you go, oh, by the end of this movie, the joke will be, she's even worse than the people.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's going to prove to everybody that there shouldn't be awful people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of, like, she becomes a worse person, but it doesn't feel like a joke. It doesn't feel like, she just, like, she started out a miserable, awful person, and she just continued being miserable and awful. Mm-hmm. And so she wasn't fun at any point in this movie. Like, she's so dour and so joyless that it takes away any quirk out of the movie.
I don't know. I mean, even for her, the way she portrays that, for me, the way she did that was... It was funny to me.
I was
cracking up. I enjoyed that movie.
I don't know. I enjoy Elijah Wood. That's him, right?
Elijah Wood.
What's the next one?
Wilfred was a big show
in.
Hobbit?
I know Hobbit. What's Harry Potter's name? What's his name?
Oh, Daniel Radcliffe.
Right.
But he wasn't in this
movie. I know. I keep mixing up the two of their names. I know he's in
the movie. I just wanted to make it clear.
I keep mixing up the two of them. I know I couldn't remember Radcliffe's name, so apparently I'm not mixing it up as good as I just forgot what I mean.
Just say Harry Potter. You're like, right. Look, it's Harry Potter. Harry Potter. No, that's the Hobbit.
That's the Hobbit one. Like, there's small things about the movie that I enjoyed when they go for the laptop and the guy is flexing and gets hit with a mallet. And then they walk inside.
Yeah.
And Elijah Wood does the greatest thing I've ever seen.
That's like, so hard.
A ninja star and a firecracker. And the other people in the house like, all right, dog.
No.
I don't want any part of this.
What I really love is how they got back. So they got back to the laptop. She literally just points her phone to the thing and it goes beep. Yeah. And everybody kind of looks and is like, oh, I guess this is your laptop.
Right. So that is... And I expected the rest of the movie to just be that. And the only other time I enjoyed the movie that much was the first time they went to the son's house and they were talking to his mother-in-law. She's like, "Of course I know they aren't police. I'm not need somebody." She's
like, "The police are here," and she does this huge wink. Yeah, I know you're not police.
Like, what are you, stupid? They're not police.
I know. And I love how she when they're at the door, she flashes the thing, and then he just randomly shouts, Police!
I expected that. Like, though, when I saw those two parts, it gave me glimpses of the better movie, but it was never that. They're like, we're in touching distance, but we can't make the movie. This movie is not. It's not. Up to par. I agree
it's
with Andrew.
Netflix quality.
For the second time in a podcast. And this is horrifying. Is it me? I mean, let me just check. Does anyone want their mom at all?
Yeah.
I'm sick in the head part. Sorry.
If only our listeners could see what I see right now.
It's better they don't. We still want them to listen to the podcast. Right. That's a good way to get people to unsubscribe. Like, I've seen enough of this.
Do you remember when we actually used to do that? We used to have a camera that we tried to point at each other.
Yeah. I mean, you guys could do it now because you have proper internet. Doing it on shitty internet was probably...
If only there is a way to buy one.
I don't know how
If only money existed.
I mean, you can't... It's only here to buy SSDs locally. Yeah, you can't
that's true.
Buy shitty SSDs. You can't buy.
Have a good one right here.
So, Andrew, do you have anything you want to talk about today?
So there is one thing that I kind of think I want to talk about. We'll see if it gets cut out.
Legion.
No, not Legion.
Damn it.
So I was listening to another podcast.
I can hear this on the record.
I was listening to another podcast. And
You are a whore.
It was Rand's Matinee Cast.
That's fine.
Not the latest one, like a one before that. I'm talking about Cure for Wellness, that episode. And he ended up talking about something that I hadn't heard him say out loud before, which was something he looks for in movies, that he finds himself doing a lot with movies where...
Was he talking about how much he loves the FP?
No, he was not talking about how much he loves
the
FP.
I think that's what he should talk about.
He should talk about that one day.
Every day.
I think he did a podcast talking about the FP. I think I was on it.
I remember.
And I don't remember him saying he
loved
it.
Well, he loves that movie, and he loves
Kung
Fury.
Told you. Told you.
Yeah, he told me this.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Personally.
Yes, personally.
So, I've never seen those messages. I'm sure they're like Twitter DMs. So,
not for you.
Right? Well,
for
you know, he's embarrassed.
Okay, cool.
Carry up. All right.
We'll let him respond to that. He was talking about the
fact... I'll have to wait a week for him to respond.
Right.
And by that time... I'll have no clue what he's talking about because I'll have forgotten.
You're assuming this SSD that he bought here will last as a bold assumption.
What if I put it on the same hard drive as the Division? Do you think it's a better or worse chance?
I think the computer might catch fire.
So yeah, he was talking about the idea that he tends to find himself gravitating towards movies that do pretty better than story. That the pretty is the first thing in his line sight. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, yes, literally.
Literally. And he talked about the fact that sometimes he'll put some of these movies on mute while he's editing podcasts and just have them going, just so he has something to look at.
Like and the fall.
Pretty.
There's
pretty.
So many times God, that we've come to movies and we've kind of mentioned how pretty it is or how wonderful it is. But I was curious to talk to you guys about the movies that maybe you might look at it and you might say, I like this movie, but it's pretty over story, right? That it's not the story that you're there for. It's the fact that the visuals are that great with this movie for you.
That's a good question. Maybe to some degree, those movies that you guys hate, the You the Living and Pigeon Sat on a Branch.
I still haven't watched the Pigeon one.
His life, those movies. Actually, I do like the content of them, but if you think about it, there are small vignettes that either make you giggle or whatever it is. It's nothing special, but yeah, definitely what brings them all together and makes it just fantastic for me. Aside from the singular enjoyment of each of these vignettes is the beauty behind it. They are, I don't know if you guys hate it so much that you've decided it's ugly as well, but
in my mind,
I think,
yes,
exactly. I think we can all agree that it is, they are very pretty. Well, maybe not they, because I'm sure you guys didn't watch the third one, but that You the Living is a very pretty movie.
I don't know if I'd call it pretty.
In my mind, this is just hatred.
I think what I remember about that movie, other than not liking it, was it felt washed out. It felt like the movie was kind of had like a film over it,
right?
Where it was like we did something, but we like put cellophane in front of the lens so that it would look weird. I don't know if that's even really there anymore, but that's just how I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy stop motion,
yeah,
a lot, because I know how hard it is for these people to do this, because they have to move the thing 90 million times in order to get like a second film or whatever. And I think it was someone with the flowers on the dead girl. I'm trying to remember.
But there's one Corpse Bride?
No, man. There's one a couple years, like in 2000 something, and they had what it was. I think it was the first one where they had like CG and stop motion together, so they were able to do like swirling things and all sorts.
Paranorman?
No, man. It was, but that's... I can't remember the name of it. But like even Paranorman, Kubo and the Two Strings,
all the Laika movies,
yeah. Right? Like when I see them. Because even with Kubo, like, the story isn't the greatest.
Excuse me? That movie's awesome.
No, you cannot. I'll fight a man to keep that movie.
You know, there's somebody on this podcast that doesn't.
No, he's wrong,
movie.
And he's been wrong a lot.
So he gets to say I'm wrong once today.
Yeah, by the way, I'm so happy I found something that I agree with him. We're back to normal now. Right.
But I enjoy, like, just looking at stop motion, because I know usually it looks fantastic, but then when you remember just how much work goes into doing this, you go, I couldn't imagine like doing all of that.
I saw the Leica people put out like a video, and people have been using it as a GIF yeah! online.
The Leica people put out Leica video.
Yeah, they did. I'm an idiot. Of them doing like an animation section for Kubo, and you just see the guy moving the thing.
Oh, along a track.
Yeah, and like you can see them cutting frames of the guy actually moving him, and you see the physical parts of it, and like I've always said it with stop motion. Stop motion is the thing that I love for that purpose alone. Just me appreciating the effort.
Mm-hmm.
But like thinking about this, I was trying to think about this today while I was listening to the podcast. And the one movie that came to mind, a movie that I know is quite revered and people are going to get on me about this. But I don't remember that I love the story that much. But the visuals and the cinematography, all of it is great. And it's David Lean's Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, yeah, that movie. It is pretty.
Oh, it is so pretty.
I've actually never watched that movie before.
It's long.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Apparently all of David Lean's movies are long. I've seen that, and I've seen Dr. Zhivago. I love Dr. Zhivago.
You're going to not want to watch Lord of the Rings. Imagine Lord of the Rings. Now imagine it's long King. Lord of the Rings, and then it is even longer than that. It feels like homework by the time.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. Like, I hate everything that is happening. But the thing that sticks with you, though, is just how pretty it is. Douglas already mentioned The Fall.
Don't you dare put that movie on the list, because that requires this movie's story to be subpar, which it is not. This movie is great in every way.
It's beautiful first, and then everything else is also pretty spectacular.
Exactly.
And the other movie that I like for the visuals as well as the story, like the ones that pop into my, it's Pan's Labyrinth. Because that movie is trash.
That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, that movie's trash.
I understand now. Since you haven't gotten me to watch it, you guys can tell the truth.
Yeah,
okay, that it's pretty.
Does that mean I can just pick the bad Guillermo del Toro movies? Because I actually like how he does visuals.
You're right. He actually does do a lot of good visuals. They are always pretty, but
that means movies. Crimson Peak, a movie where the story is kind of iffy.
Yeah, that movie really is pretty. Right?
But that movie is really pretty. Mm-hmm. Like, even at the time, I knew there were issues I had with the movie, but I still thought I didn't think it was trash.
Right? And my boy Tarson did the Snow White.
Which one? Oh, Snow White?
Movie.
Yeah.
And while that movie...
Every movie he's done is pretty.
It's bad, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, the gods of thing,
I guess, yeah. Movie. The immortals.
Yeah, the immortals. Yeah. That movie's not
good. Maybe not.
They are pretty. But that Snow White thing, it is beautiful. But that movie is so bad. Oh, it's so bad.
He needs to write another movie. That was the only movie he wrote was The Fall.
I'll watch any movie he makes.
Oh, absolutely. I actually watched, was it Selfless the other day that he made? And did not mind it. It was not a good movie by any standard, but it also wasn't bad.
No, I'm going to say that movie's bad. A movie's really bad. But yeah, if a movie's pretty, that's great. And if I like the movie, then the prettier the movie is, the more it will endear itself to me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I dislike a movie, even if it is pretty, I will not see any of the pretty. It will just be all of my hates all of the time. The second Star Wars movie is pretty. Like, is the Rogue One movie.
Oh, the Rogue One
movie.
Yeah, okay.
The CG work, the everything work in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. Disney gave them all of the money on the planet, so you understand why. They probably built every last thing that was on screen in reality.
I really do
so,
love
that
movie, though.
I think...
And Ida, I remember loving
Ida. Oh, yeah. But that movie is great. Yeah. Like, forget how pretty it is.
I think that Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi... in its best moments look better than the best moments of Rogue One to me.
I don't have the love that you guys have for that.
And the thing about it is that in my mind, the best moments that I think of are stuff like, for example, when Luke and Vader... Vader meet to fight at the end of Return of the Jedi. And it's one of those moments where you can look at it and you can say that... sometimes lighting is more important than effects work in movies, because just the way that frame, I'm like, that's brilliant. As opposed to, I'm not saying Rogue One is bad, but like just some of the stuff in Rogue One where you kind of look at it and you're like, yeah, 90% of this is CG, right? And part of my brain devalues that sadly.
Yeah.
Right?
You're an awful person.
I'm an awful person.
So what you're saying...
Just like us talking about stop motion, where we look at it and we can see the work.
Mm-hmm.
We're like... So
what you're saying effectively is that you had a race and the person that won you disqualified.
Right. Yeah.
So
but
Chelsea won the match.
So you essentially right. so
They're using.
I'm going to disqualify your fucking statement because you just said it's better than, and followed it up by saying, "Well, actually, the other one is, but it has, they cheated.
They use performance enhancing technology, so we can't use.
Yeah, you can't. Right.
Performance enhancing technology. We don't allow it.
Because Andrew, that statement was just wow.
It's a true Andrew statement.
Yeah.
It's one for a shirt.
If I could ever get one.
If you could fit it all on one. Yeah. Like, that one takes a lot of context to kind of get to it. Yeah.
Probably going to cost extra
and
money.
The funny thing is, so I'm trying to think of other movies that... And I even feel bad for saying the movies
too.
That... I feel bad for saying the movies that I did because I really do like those movies. But it's the closest I could come to being like, well, maybe the visuals do... add something beyond what is there, because and I think that
what was the name of that
movie? How I look at things is it's all, as you say, it's wrapped up, so if I decide for whatever reason that I like it, it now becomes good, as opposed to, well, there was this thing that I forgave,
where unless it
is to the level of like a Chef or a Night's Tale, you know.
Where I feel it works best for me is in animation. So like a few years back, there was a movie called The Secret of Kells, an Irish animated movie.
Yeah, I remember when it came out.
I can't tell you what that story is anymore at this point, but like I remember the style of that animation and some of those pictures, and like it's great, right? Animation is where I think it comes out most for me, because that's when they get to do all of the style they want. So like even Moana, which I didn't really like that movie that
God,
much.
I hate you but people I love, so much for saying
I love the I love the way that movie looks.
I love that movie.
Right?
I love all of that movie. People keep talking. Like, it went from they finally made the perfect Disney movie, and then everybody just keeps chipping away at how much. Like, in a year from now, they're like, what the hell is a Moana?
There's nothing special
you're
about
so
that
wrong.
Movie.
You're so
nothing
wrong.
Special
Frozen
about
is
that.
So better.
So wrong.
The only,
hate
the
you
only
all.
Time I actually really liked any part of this movie, and I'm sure we said this the last time we spoke about it, was David Bowie. That was it.
You're all wrong, and I hate all of you.
And that's only because David Bowie and Jermaine Clement. That's the only thing.
Like,
but yeah, that movie is not special.
The pictures are.
Life of Pi is beautiful. Spectre is beautiful.
All right, cool. Life of Pi. I'll give it to Life of Pi.
And the Army Hammer spy movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The
Free
Man
Fire?
From Uncle.
No,
what the
man.
Hell is wrong with you, Andrew?
Man from Uncle is beautiful.
It is.
To look
it's
at.
Great. It's great. I'm so sad that clearly there will never be a sequel to that movie.
Because now I can only get to watch movies like late at night when everybody's asleep. I forget from time to time just how good my TV looks in pitch darkness. Because you see it in the daytime and I'm always looking at my monitor, which is nowhere near as good as my TV. And I sit in the living room at times and go, holy shit, this looks incredible. Like casual. Oh, yeah. That's why I bought this TV. It looks incredible. But the TV is not long for this world. I have new TVs to buy one day soon. I'll kill all of you.
Anyways, that's what I really want to talk about. So now you may play some music.
It doesn't feel... Because we don't have the first one.
You
this
know
just
what?
Feels like a pale imitation
it
for
does.
What we did last week.
But Pineapple Day, man. Pineapple.
Andrew and his cross, his computer destroyed... How much money do I need to send this to
well,
like
anyway,
a professional?
I actually do exactly right.
You can just send them
I actually do
right.
want to take
Samsung
a stroll.
Is offering to let me send them the hard drive,
right? To recover the information on it. I agree.
I actually do
yeah,
want
like,
to take a stroll
podcast,
into dancehall reggae corner because.
Yes.
So maybe we won't continue with this because Andrew fucked
right.
it up.
Andrew destroyed.
But.
Our
there is something
platform.
That I really wanted to talk about because so the and I'm not even going to explain this because you guys are going to have to catch up. But number 48 on Pitchfork's list of top 50 best
wouldn't
dance,
we be at 49?
Dance hall. Mm-hmm. Thank you, 49 mm-hmm. of top 50 best dancehall
yes.
reggae songs
dancehall reggae.
Ever made was Tony Mataron's
mm-hmm.
Dirty Wine. And by the way, I understand that it's pronounced or it's spelled Matterhorn. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why we pronounce it Matteron. Okay?
Tony Matteron.
That's how it's pronounced. Tony Matteron.
Right.
Now, in the article for this this song, it reminded me of a little fact that I had completely forgotten about dealing with this song. And I'm going to read from the article. And the article says, upon its release in 2006, I forgot how old this song is.
We're old.
Yeah. Upon its release in 2006, Dirty Wine's accompanying head rotating and hip gyrating dance became such a global phenomenon. Mm-hmm. It was banned in several countries for its potential neck and spinal damage.
Yep.
The British Virgin Islands took this one step further when they banned the song and Matteron from performing altogether.
Yep.
But the song has remained unstoppable. I completely forgot that this thing, well, all, most of our songs have dances attached to them, but that this thing had this dance and what just the shenanigans, the insanity that ensued with it.
But don't all dancehall songs have dances?
Yes, but not ones that not when one you're specific. Finished, not you one specific have to go to the hospital.
And not one this crazy.
Yeah. there was... Andrew, you don't seem to understand. It was like every day you heard, all right, people, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah,
because
people are hurting themselves. Last week's song that no one will ever hear because it is dead to everybody was garbage. Does not belong on the list.
Yeah.
And the person that sang it, I refuse to call her name, is probably not even Jamaican anymore. It was just trash. This song belongs on this list. Tony Matteron. Imagine if DJ Green Lantern decided, I'm going to make music. Right? And made a song so good that it broke the genre. Because Tony Matteron, like, he produced a couple songs, but that wasn't his job. He was just a DJ. He's primarily a DJ. He goes to dances and he spins records and he's very good at it. But when he started making music of his own, everybody's like, all right, Matteron, whatever. And then Dirty Wine hit and it broke the country. There was pro Dirty Wine people and then there was a strong anti-Dirty Wine people. And the anti-Dirty Wine won, but that didn't stop us pro Dirty Wine people from enjoying ourselves. Boy, the dance is dangerous, the song is nonsensical,
but
it is glorious.
Yeah. As you said, Damien, this song, it's not that great, but it's the type of song, so I kind of lumped this in with the sort of, what was his name again? Lil Jon kind of songs,
right?
So, Lil Jon, I remember for a long time I used to hate him because I didn't understand him. I didn't understand Lil Jon until one day I went to the club and Balls to the Wall was on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Right? That's what this song is. Right. This song is a great song to go into the club. And
it's not for personal use.
Yeah, it's not.
This song is industrial.
What was the name of that song? It's not Balls to the Wall. It's From the Windows to
the... From the Windows to the Wall. Well,
yeah, something like that. But yeah.
Skeet 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 is the name of the song.
Is that the name? Oh boy. But yeah,
right.
So that's what this song is. And this song works perfectly for that. And that alone gives it sort of an honorable mention status. But the fact that it broke the world.
Yeah.
It broke backs across the world.
There was legislation passed. Yeah.
I think we can all agree with Pitchfork.
It was detrimental
that this deserves
to
be somewhere on the list.
Like, this song... The song is basically he goes to a club and he's dancing and a girl comes and dances with him, and then the rest of the song is just the hook. But this song is basically industrial grade dancehall. Like, they took dancehall and distilled it down to its purest essence. It's like a weapon. This song, I've still heard this song being played last week.
Yeah.
That is the staying power. It is crazy how good slash bad this is the first song that they put on this list. Like, after the shenanigans of number 50, you just assume they'd get all of it wrong. But as they say, you know, a clock, even a broken clock is right twice a day. They got this one right. Tony Mataron is... I like Tony Mataron. I've met him twice, I think. And like Little John on the Chappelle Show, when you meet him, you realize, oh, he knows what he's... This is not a goof. Like, he's not pretending that he thinks the thing he's making is spectacular. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he's gone out of his way to make it happen. And boy... Boy, Dirty Wine is... Oh, it is spectacular. So well done, Pitchfork. 1 out of 2 so far, right?
Yeah, that's 50%. That's passable. I mean, it's better than their hip-hop average, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right. So far.
So far.
Oh, hi, guys. What have you been talking about? Hey.
Tech,
I think. Yeah. All right, I cut that out already. Yeah. All right, cool. I just did it before we even got there.
Mm-hmm. The unnamed tech podcast.
Yep.
No one said pineapple this one. I hope Andrew knows that he has to play Dirty like the entire time.
No, you can't. You can't explain it.
No,
pineapple.
Not the pineapple. Hope Andrew knows that. Like, if the computer survives, obviously, that he plays Dirty Wine throughout the podcast. So by the time they get here, they're like, he keeps playing this, and it does not match up with any of the things they've thought. And then they'll get here, and it'll also be Dirty Wine.
I
recommend you watch videos of both the song and the
dance. I'll put links in the the post for so good. Anyone who's interested.
So I have a feeling that what really happened to last week's podcast is that Andrew decided he did not want to post anything that we're talking about, this dancehall business.
Right.
So he just loaded a virus onto his computer.
It's called The Division.
And said, you know what?
I know how I'm going to
take care of this. I couldn't stop laughing because after that, I went online and I saw on Polygon that apparently Ubisoft announced that they're doing more content for The Division.
Right.
And it'll all be free. They're not even going to bother to charge anyone in the hopes that anyone who hasn't gotten it yet is going to now jump on board, like buy the $60 game again. Because it seems like this is the one that failed. Like, Destiny succeeded as a business, like, regardless of critical love. This is the one that didn't succeed.
It made all of its money up front, but there's no staying
power. Yeah, with the people who were anticipating it.
Right. And so, like, they made so much money that they could roll out the full year, and even though no one played like this, and then they're like, listen, we have to get people back and playing so that when Division 2 comes out, Andrew isn't still playing Overwatch and he can come back. But now I have to buy Overwatch because I'm fairly certain we're going to start the Division any night we play, and halfway through I'm going to go, Andrew, and I'm just going to say a message. And it's just going to be a pitch and a flame. fucking Division. Just hearing him say he installed the Division. That is impossible. That's a pretty good joke, but there's no... He's like, no, damn it. like 10,000%. Honestly, I didn't believe you till Douglas said... Because Douglas wouldn't joke about reinstalling Linux. It's over.
So more importantly, next week, guys, we're going to be beginning the Yasujiro Ozu Marathon.
Yes.
I hope everyone is ready and anticipating.
I have all but one of the movies, and I need to stop watching Legion, so I can stop watching those movies. I want to watch them more than once. I don't like coming in, watching the movies only once and not really knowing.
Yeah, all half-cocked.
Yeah, I've told myself to be better at this podcasting that we keep doing for some reason. So I've been watching movies more than once and stuff like that. Getting myself
schedule is out there.
Ready. Yeah.
Douglas, you can go to the spreadsheet.
I actually approve Douglas of the schedule thing.
Douglas does not do spreadsheets.
At the start, I was like, Andrew must be crazy. I'm not going to pick movies.
Scheduling helps.
But it really does
No,
help.
It does. It's great.
I can watch the movies ahead of time.
But Douglas doesn't do spreadsheets.
I know. Right.
Not Andrew, Google Andrew can... Exactly. Yeah. Andrew can... My God, I can't talk today. Mm-hmm. Andrew can create a website if he wants, mm-hmm. just like how he was supposed to for a certain other endeavor that we were working with that has subsequently failed.
Yep. I got an email about the website to be renewed. I don't think I'm going to renew because I want to rebuild it in Python.
Yes, Andrew can create an interface what, you know, is better than Google shitty spreadsheets.
Yes.
Please and thanks.
And thanks. You chicks can't hide behind expensive cars and clothes. Old niggas I expose like Luke does hoes in videos. With classic material, imperial and rugged like. Got mag, but my slugs are mic. You fake like a smile, like a hug, I'm tight. Skip ladies, this is Ripple motherfucker night. Oracle air outs, niggas don't even run for cover right. Downtown, interracial lovers hold hands. I breathe heavy like an old man with a cold pair of old style. Hold a stone out profile, mixed between Malcolm X and Seth when I go wild. Hold mics like a second nut to the second coming. Humming coming towards you with power like forest do. And pop you my bitchin' like a Ford, I'm exploring you. Some whack niggas be cool with them, I stay cordial. Flow at room temperature, catches.